Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year to you. Did you guys have a rough night like I did? Sometimes we overdo it on New Year's and it finds us packing our bags the next day, right? I'm just kidding. But today we're going to talk about the idea of putting out the old things and bringing in the new things. And the New Year's Day is often a time where we begin to start focusing on what things we want to do differently, what things we want to bring in new to our lives, and we often make resolutions and things of that nature. And sometimes I think we misinterpret its purpose in our life or how it could actually serve us in our walk with Christ because we fail to understand exactly how we are to do those things. How many of you know if your plate's already full, putting something new on top of it doesn't necessarily help you? Right? So sometimes we need to take out some old things and so that we can make room to put in some new things. And Paul addresses this with the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4. He's telling them, now Ephesus was right in the mix of the Roman way of life. They had all sorts of different ideas and beliefs about sexuality, about what men were supposed to be, what women were supposed to be. They were probably some of the most worldly people that you'd ever meet. And Paul was leading many of them to Christ, and they were forming a church, and it was growing and being established. In fact, Jesus commended, is one of the most highly commended churches in the book of Revelation. Jesus said, look, your works are great. You hate evil. All these things that Paul warned the church of Ephesus about, they kind of heeded those warnings. But Jesus did correct them on a couple things. We'll talk about that later. But what Paul is telling them here is that, look, you are new creations in Christ. You are made new in Christ. So when you accept Christ, you are a new creation in Him. But there's something that you have to remember. You have to remember to remove the old self. Because when we accept Christ, right, we are made new in the eyes of God, but yet we are still holding on to some of our worldly behaviors, right? None of us ever got perfect right away. I don't know about you, but it was a process and it was a struggle. And Paul reminds the church of Ephesus, said, look, don't be like, you are new creations in Christ, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't go out there acting like them. You are now set apart in Christ. You must go through this process. You must take off the old clothes. You must take off the old man and put on the new man, all right? Last year, I got to take a couple of mission trips to Alaska. And, of course, I got to go when the weather was a little warmer, so it wasn't too bad. But how many of you know that it was like 40 and 50 degrees below zero in Galena, Alaska over the holidays? So if I'm going to take a trip, let's just say, for instance, if I was going to go live the rest of my life and leave Louisiana and go to Alaska to live, if I packed my belongings when I left here like I was going to live in Louisiana and I moved to Alaska, how well do you think I would be equipped to dress for success in Alaska? You see, what I'm trying to get to you is that if we're going to dress for success, if we're going to take off the old and put on the new, we've also got to pack well. Because if we don't pack well, we are destined to fail. There's no way that we can dress well if we don't pack well. We have to make sure that we are preparing ourselves with the right things so that we can put on the right things. You with me so far? If we go on and read the rest of this passage, beginning in verse 25, Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give. We have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to its hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We see here now, not only is Paul giving them a challenge to take off the old man, put on the new man, he's giving them instruction now on how these things are done. And I thought about that. If we were going to dress well or dress for success in 2017, we're going to need to make sure that we pack well. Because we're on a journey, and we have a destination, right? Our destination is not 2018. It's not so that we can just get through this year and make it to this point next year. We've got to get a focus on what our real destination is, and our destination is eternity. Our destination is heaven. We are heaven-bound. If we are believers in Christ, we are heaven-bound. We are headed toward God's glory, and we want to be preparing ourselves and dressing ourselves and equipping ourselves as believers to be ready for the day that Christ comes and brings us back. We have to ask ourselves, if Christ were to return today, what in my life would I want to be different? If Christ were to come back right now, if he were to come back January 1st, 2017, would I be ready? What would I have to answer for? What in my life would I have missed out on cleaning up? What have I not given over to him? Sometimes I think when we begin a new year and we begin to set goals and make plans for what we want God to do in our lives this year, most of the time I hear people say, boy, I just hope this year is better than next year. You hear that? You ever say that? Boy, I just hope next year is just better than last year. Last year was terrible. I just hope next year is better. Are we leaving everything to circumstance? Right? If we're just leaving it up to the world and life around us to be better, for us to have a better year, well, then we're not intentionally seeking God's best in our life every day. Most of us want better things. Most of us want a better experience. Most of us want a better walk with Christ, but yet we don't want to change anything about ourselves to get it. How many of you know if you want improvement, something has to change? Right? Because if we want something to change or improve and we're not willing to change ourselves, then we're asking everything else around us to change for us. And that's a self-centered perspective. If we truly want change, if we want to experience change in our own life, we must be willing to change something about us, something about ourselves. Because just expecting the rest of the world to change to suit our needs so that we can be happy is a self-centered perspective. That means the world revolves around me and my needs and my wishes. Change or improvement, or for this year to be better than last year, is going to require some effort and some work on our part. So here's what I want you to do, and here's why I brought this today, is I want you to help me to unpack this scripture a little bit and help us to be able to understand what God is trying to say to us about the way we dress or the way we put on ourselves, put on the new self in Christ. And the way we're going to dress for success in 2017. So sometimes we got to take out the old things, the things that we don't want to take with us on our journey. We got to remove them so that we can add some new things. And the first thing that I'm going to pull out here is my nice Captain America shirt. Right? This is my superhero shirt. I wear my superhero shirt when I want to save the world. And I want to make everyone right. And I want to do all the things that I can do and beyond. And I'm just going to attack the world and make it better all by myself. Right? So, if you read verse 25, it says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. See, when we try to put on the superhero shirt and we try to be everyone's savior, right? We're trying to be the savior ourselves. and there's already been a Savior. When we do this, we lie to ourselves. We lie to everyone else because we pretend that we've got all the answers and we've got it all together. It says that we are all members of one another, which means that we're all dependent on each other, and there are no superheroes in the body of Christ. There are none. We all dependent on each other. We all need each other. So what do you think? Pack it or chunk it? Yeah, we should chunk it. All right, we'll move that. All right, so how about this one? This is a cool item. I've had it a long time. This is my angry insulated overalls. I put them on whenever I'm angry because they're camouflaged, and the camouflage helps people from seeing that really I'm afraid, but I want them to think I'm angry because anger is really just hidden fear. So I put on these overalls because they keep me warm whenever the world is cold, and I express myself in anger, and I lash out, and I hurt others, right? But verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give a place for the devil. So anger is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's a natural feeling. We're all going to feel it. There's no way that we can say that we'll never feel anger in our life. When people wrong us, we'll be angry about it. But we should never wear it. To never become part of who we are. And Paul describes the Gentiles. He says that they're gone past feeling. Well, what he means is that they've begun to allow their feelings to define who they are. And we live in a world today where people allow their feelings to define who they are. If they desire something, that means that's the way they're made. If I desire this certain type of sexual preference or whatever, if my desire is to be with this type of person or do this type of thing, well then, that's just the way I'm made. It now defines me. I make a name for it, and I make a title for it, and I begin to wear it. It becomes part of who I am. Paul said, don't be like the Gentiles. You can feel anger, but you don't have to sin over it. There are a lot of ways to express anger in a healthy way. If you don't know how, there's help for that. There really is. Don't let your anger become part of you. Don't begin to wear it. Right? Because when you begin to wear it, all you're really doing is hiding what's underneath it. So what do you think? Pack it or chunk it? All right. So here's an interesting item we have. Some pajamas. Nothing like a good pair of pajamas, right? Go home, get in your pajamas, and watch TV, right? Pajamas become a problem when they're our work clothes. How many, do you ever see people in Walmart with their pajamas on? You know they're not showing up for a job interview, right? pajamas are great. They're comfortable. They're nice. You can relax. But pajamas become a problem when they become our work clothes. When we begin to find ourselves in a place where we stay in a mode of relaxation and comfort, when we become lazy and lackadaisical and stop working, doing our part and doing the work that God requires for us, then we begin to utilize something good to become something negative in our life. Paul is telling them, let him who steals steal no longer. In other words, make sure that you're working for whatever you get. Now, you may not ever do everything you want to do, but every man can do something. Everybody can do something. Everybody can contribute. Make sure that you're doing your part to take something or take of something without participating and working for it. In God's eyes, it is stealing. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't such thing as charity and that there are some situations where we can't work. But even if we can't do physical labor, we can all contribute in some way. And so don't let our pajamas become our work clothes, right? So we're gonna chunk this one too. here's a cool one. Let's try this. What do y'all think? Keep it or chunk it? Well, we'll keep it one more year, all right? We'll hold on to that one more year. All right, how about this? These are called my bitterness britches. You know, they've got lots of rips and tears in them. But I only wear them around my house. You know, I don't want people to really see me in them. I only really put them on when I'm at home. And that's the way bitterness kind of is. We never really let people see it out in public. We don't wear our bitterness to church. We want people to think that we're always happy-go-lucky. But when we get home, that bitterness begins. We climb into our bitterness, and it begins to pour out of us. And you know who we pour that out on? Our family. You know what? Here's what's funny about bitterness is it kind of reveals a little bit of our backside. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." We cannot afford to take bitterness into our next year. We can't take bitterness another step. We can't bring it with us another day, because bitterness will destroy us. And here's the perfect way to discover if you're really bitter. It's not how you're going to act here, but when you go home and your attitude turns sour, you find yourself beginning to talk about people at church. You begin to be negative about others. You begin to put other people down. You begin to have a sour attitude about maybe the way things are going because they're not going your way. And that bitterness, those bitterness pants that you crawl into when you get home, begin to come out on everyone that you love. And then they begin to see two people. They begin to see a person that you are at church and then a person that you are at home. And your kids don't understand. They become confused by that. And they don't really get it, because they don't know how to be bitter yet. We can't afford to take bitterness on our journey. If our destination is heaven, we have no need for bitterness, because we're on a journey to glory. And no matter whatever it is that we're bitter about, we can leave it behind. Here's something else in here. This is my book of offenses. Everybody that hurts me and causes me harm, I write it down and I keep it here in this book. That way I don't forget it. You know, that way if they ever ask me for something, I can bring it out and remember. This is another cool item. This is my microscope. This is really neat. You can find all the faults and all the impurities in everything underneath this microscope. You know, you can find, if you went out and found the most perfect rose petal in all the world, if you went out and you put it under this microscope, you could probably find 1,000 faults. Microscopes are good for examining things, but they're not necessarily good for us to pack along. So, the last thing that we probably want to, that Paul encourages us to look at is our mouths. You know, we have our toothpaste and our toothbrush. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We need to make sure that we're prepared to clean up our mouths. If we're going to truly dress for success, we need to make sure that when people get near us, close enough to hear us, that we don't chase them away with our mouths. The things that we say have a powerful impact. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. These things should not be. We need to make sure that we prepare ourselves for the year ahead. We need to be prepared for the destination that God has us on. We need to get rid of bitterness. We need to get rid of our anger. We need to put aside all temptation to be lazy and just sit back and let others do the work. We need to get busy and be a part of God's work and what He has for us to do. We need to take off our superhero costume and quit lying to people and pretend like we got it all together. You know, that is one of the biggest things that I see church people do is we walk around like we've got it all together, I don't have any problems in my life and everything's great and everything's wonderful. I'm too blessed to be stressed, and we know that it's not true. You know that it's not true, because We all go through things. And maybe in the moment we're not going through the biggest of things, but we all go through things. We all struggle with things, because if we were perfect, we'd be home already. And so as we get ready to pack our bags for our journey, we've removed all the things that we don't need. So now we have lots of room to put things that we do need. We find that Paul gives us some insights of things that we want to add to our luggage. He says that we are to be kindness. That's not a bad thing. Is it so hard to be kind? You know what I find? That most of the world is full of sarcasm. That even when somebody tries to be nice, they're received with sarcasm. There is so much sarcasm. If you've ever been on social media, you will find that it's just dripping with sarcasm. And even those who try to be nice and positive and uplifting, they're met with so much disdain and ugliness. There's plenty of ugliness in the world to go around. Why don't we add a little kindness? Paul also says something about tenderheartedness. And, you know, I'll put this inside of a box that says do not open. Because tenderheartedness is that thing that's hard for us to do. Because we would prefer to be hard-hearted, because it keeps people from getting inside and hurting us. To be tender-hearted means that we allow ourselves to let people in. We allow ourselves to let people get close, which means we allow ourselves for people to even hurt us sometimes. And that's hard to do. But Paul encourages them to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving. Wow, there's a concept that as believers in Christ, that we're to forgive one another. Nothing wrong with those things. Kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. I think there's some scripture in there about forgiving as God has forgiven us. And if we expect God to forgive us of our sins, then we should forgive others their sins against us. But we ask, how are we to do that? How can we do that? How can I, when I feel all of these things, when I struggle with all these things, how do I be kind? How do I be tenderhearted? How do I forgive? It takes a total dependence on God. We have to realize that our destination is not the goals and the ideas that we set for the year. Our destination is heaven, and we're heaven bound. We're to add kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness to our journey, to our luggage, so that we can dress with success. We're to take off anger. We're to take off bitterness. We're to take off laziness and put on kindness, put on forgiveness, and put on tenderheartedness. Now, this means that we're to put them on, which means that they're not naturally part of you. They're not going to be your natural reactions. You're not going to necessarily always want to be kind. You're not going to always want to be tenderhearted. You're not going to always want to forgive. So there's an action here. There's an intentional action that we're to put these things on, right, so that we can dress for success. There's a couple other things. In Revelation, Jesus writes to the church of Ephesus and tells them that there are all these things. They had listened to Paul's warnings, and they had heard, and they'd obeyed. They were obedient. They did mission trips. They loved people. They hated evil. They made sure that the world didn't come into the church. He commended them highly. But he said, there's one thing. There's one thing that you lack. In all of the things that you've built this great, marvelous church, but you forgot one thing. You forgot your first love. And all of your work and all your effort and everything that you've done and your trip toward moving toward heaven bound, you forgot to love me. You forgot your passion. You forgot your passion. You did all the right things, but you did them without the right thing. You did them without love. Love for the Savior. If we're going to dress for success, we've got to put on our passion. You know, it's hard to keep passion sometimes when we deal with people. Right? People can steal your passion. Because sometimes when you're passionate and people around you aren't passionate, they get uncomfortable about your passion. And so what do they want to do? They want to make you less passionate so they can be less uncomfortable. Don't forget about the most important thing. Don't forget about your passion. So when we take out the things that we don't need, I'll go ahead and put our saint stuff back in there. We'll hold on to that a little longer. We take out the stuff we don't need. We put in the things that God says that we actually have room for a few other things, right? We can actually add a couple things. We can maybe add a book, a theology book. Maybe we want to dig a little deeper into God's Word. Maybe we pick up a small group class. We can begin to learn more, develop relationships. We now have room for some of those things in here. Hey, here we took out our microscope, so now we can throw a mirror in there. So now instead of looking at everybody else, we can look at ourselves. We've got room for service. You know, we can actually instead of sitting at home being bitter and angry all the time, we can get up, come to church, and serve somebody because now we have kindness and tenderheartedness. Maybe we get involved. Maybe we don't know how to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. So maybe we have time to go to Celebrate Recovery, and we can add that to our walk with God. We can do all of these things we have when we make room. We've got to take out the old things and put in the new things, and that's what I'm trying to try to get across to you today is that we've got to go through the process of looking at how we're prepared for the next year. Don't walk into this new year and say, I just want this year to be better. I just want 2017 to be better. Don't set yourself up for disappointment. Be intentional about making 2017 better. Be the person that is one with Christ and says that I'm going to take off the old person. I'm going to take off the things that don't work, that are not of God, that are more like the world. I'm going to remove them from my life, and I'm going to begin to put on the things of God. I'm going to take on His character. I'm going to take on His characteristics, become more and more like Jesus. Whatever your goals or whatever your intentions are for 2017, let them be heaven-bound. Don't put your goals upon worldly things. Don't set your goals to have bigger houses, nicer cars, and make more money. Those things pass away. They're dying. And this world is dying. And look, it's not going to amount to anything in eternity. Put your goals on eternity. Pack your bags for the trip to heaven. And put the things in your luggage so that you're ready for the trip, right? Because when you get there, if you show up at heaven's gates and you got a bag full of bitterness, anger, laziness, and a superhero mentality, you're going to be highly disappointed at the response you get. You're not going to be prepared. Prepare for your journey. Take off the old man, put on the new man. Out with the old, in with the new. What are you struggling with today? What is in your luggage today that needs to be taken out for 2017? Maybe there's something that you used to have in your life that you were doing and was part of your life a couple years ago, and God was using you and you were growing, and then for whatever reason you decided that you were just going to stop doing it, and you see that you've stopped growing. And you stop moving. Maybe you need to go back and put that back in your bag and begin to use it again. My encouragement to you this morning is that if you are a believer in Christ, if you've accepted Christ and you know that He is your Savior and you call yourself a Christian, that 2017, your highest priority would be about walking with Him. About being what you say you are, not being like the world. Paul said, I come to you under the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not telling you this because I want you to do this. I'm telling you this because God is imploring me to tell you this because this is what he wants. Don't be like the world. Don't proclaim Christ and be like the world. Do all that you can to remove the world as much from your life as you possibly can, and walk with me with the intensity that Christ walked. Don't set your goals so low for Christianity. Don't say, well, I'm going to attend church once a week. I'm going to do the best I can. And you know what? I'm just not going to worry about the rest. Look, set your goals high. This is where God's got a high goal set for us. He's got a great purpose for your life, but you've got to strive for it. You got to move toward it. Because he's calling us home. He's bringing us to his eternity, and he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. He wants to work in our life. But he can't do it if we're not willing to change a little. If you want things to be better, if you want to be closer with God, if you want your life to be impacted by the word of God, if you want God to move seriously in your life, hey, let me tell you, don't wait for the lightning bolt to come. Don't wait for the tornado to hit your house. Look, do something about it. Open your life up to him. Let him take out the things that don't belong and begin to put in the things that he wants in there. Not that you want, the things that he wants in there. And look, if you've never made Christ your Savior, if you've just attended church here and there, and maybe you proclaim religion, but you've never come to him and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm lost, and I know if I die today, I don't know where I would be. I don't know if I would be in heaven. Then I implore you today that you take that step. That you do the most important thing on the first day of the year, is that you turn your life over to him. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Let him put you on the right path. Out with the old, in with the new. We've got to take out some things so that we can put in some things. Go through your bags today. Find out what needs to be taken out. If you're bitter about some stuff, look, I understand it. I've been bitter before. I've been angry before. I understand. It just makes you human. But there's a way to work through it. You don't have to stay that way. Look, isn't it hard? Isn't it hard to be bitter? It's just not fun. It's just not. It just makes life so much less enjoyable. It just sucks all the enjoyment out of everything when you're bitter. When you're angry, people stay away from you. They don't want to be around you. They're defensive. They're afraid of you. It's not what you want. It's time to leave all of that. Leave that in 2016. Don't carry that into 2017. Put on the things that God has called us to put on and walk with him. Be heaven-bound. Be eternally focused. Put your focus on eternity, not on your next job promotion, not on your next wing in your house, whatever. Put your focus on eternity and prepare for it. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, I thank you for your love and your grace, and I thank you for your son, Jesus. God, that he was able to come to live a perfect life and be our perfect sacrifice, and to pour out grace into our lives, Lord, so that we might be able to stand today and say, Lord, that we are forgiven. Lord, that we know that we have a place in heaven, that we, not because we're good or because we've perfectly done everything, but because you were perfect and you gave us the passage, God, to eternity. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. Lord, today I pray that as your people, God, that we would separate ourselves from worldly things, that we would remove worldly thoughts and ideas and worldly ways from our life. And God, that we would be truly committed to follow you. And God, be those people that you called us to be, the true Christians, God, that set an example and an influence, not only a community, but a state, a nation, and a world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.